Welcome to episode 415 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Richard, we don't have any feedback this week.
Yeah. None. What's that about? Nothing on Twitter, nothing through the emails.
Well, then let's remind people, if you wanted to say, complain about your guide data, or talk about some cool Xbox thing, or whatever, you can do that by emailing us, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or hit us up on Twitter, @JoshPollard, @RichardGunther, @DigiMediaZone. All of that is in the show notes and will be repeated for your listening pleasure at the end of the show. But since we don't have any feedback, I guess we can get right into our featured story of the week. Let me tell you guys, we got together this morning to try and plan the show and thought, is there anything to talk about? We found some things. And this Xbox story is by far the biggest story. But I almost forgot about it, honestly, because there's this new software update across everybody now on the Xbox. If you have an Xbox One, you've got new software on it by the time you're listening to this. This isn't just an insider thing. This is everybody. And the reason I kind of forgot about this is my primary Xbox is on the Insider Previews Ring 3. So I've had a lot of this stuff for a little while, at least. So it's always hard for me to keep track of what's actually new. But there's some new stuff here, and it's pretty cool. And I think some of you are going to be pretty excited about at least some of these features. So first one, gamer picks, custom gamer picks. You're going to be able to, well, now, not going to, you can now replace your little avatar person with a custom gamer pick of almost anything you want. There are terms of service you got to follow, people. You can't make, you know, super crude images and things like that. So read the terms of service if you're thinking that you might be about to post something that's maybe not quite appropriate. Best to be on the safe side there, because Microsoft loves to pull out the ban hammer on people who do things wrong on the Xbox. So that's not just your profile's gamer pick. If you run a club, you can set a custom gamer pick for the club. You can also set a custom picture for your club's background. Now, this is one that I just realized tonight as I was prepping for the show. So that one's pretty cool, too. Another one, probably the one that I've been using the most, the one that I'm the most excited about, is Mixer co-streaming. If you don't remember what co-streaming is, or maybe even what Mixer is Microsoft's answer to Twitch. This is their game video streaming service. And it's, you know, it's just baked right into the Xbox. It's way, way easy to do. Right from the sidebar, you can say, start streaming my game, and you can choose whether you want your camera on, whether you want your microphone on, whether you want to include party chat, because a lot of times you're playing Xbox games with friends, right? Well, they might be streaming too, and co-streaming allows you to include up to three other people in your Mixer stream, and if someone goes to your stream to view that, then they see, you know, up to those four different player screens all on one screen at the same time. It's really cool. I've done some four-player co-streaming of Forza Horizon 3, and it's been a blast. And we've gotten some of the most viewers we've ever had while doing that, because it's just a lot of fun. And now you can set up that co-streaming right on your Xbox. You don't have to go out to the website and invite people to your co-stream that way. It's just built into the sidebar. You go to your friend, click the invite button, and instead of just like invite to chat and invite to game, now there's another option for invite to co-stream. So it's really simple, and it's really, really cool. Another feature that might be useful if you've got a bunch of people in your house that all play and also tend to use the same controller, maybe you all went and made your own fancy custom designed Xbox controllers like I did. You can now essentially link a controller to your individual profile so that when you turn a controller on, it automatically signs you in.
Yeah. So you, what you said was a family where you all use the same controller. I think what you really mean is a family where you all use a dedicated controller.
Yes, that is absolutely what I meant. You're right. Yeah. So that's fairly cool. That's not a feature I'll be using. I'm pretty much the only one who uses the Xbox controller in my house.
Keep your hands off my controller.
Oh, I don't let them touch the yellow one. Like, I'll occasionally play some stuff with Eden, and she's like, can I use the yellow one? No.
No.
It was an $80 controller. You don't get to touch it. No. Then they've also expanded the arena functionality. It's still limited to making tournaments for Killer Instinct. They still haven't expanded it to other games yet. But now you can make your own Killer Instinct tournaments and invite your friends, invite your club. So that's cool if you're into Killer Instinct. And then they didn't just update the Xbox software. They also updated the Xbox app for Android and iOS. They've added some looking for game sharing functionality into the mobile apps, which is really useful because maybe you've scheduled looking for group. That's what LFG stands for. Looking for group to game. You can schedule those to say, I'm going to play tonight at 9. And now you can share those requests from your phone, which is cool. And then they've also made it so that within the app, you can go into the store. And if you subscribe to Xbox Game Pass, you can now see all of the Xbox Game Pass games that are available to you and install them right from the app on your phone, and they'll install to your home Xbox automatically, which is cool. And then if you have an Android phone, they've added a new feature for the instant messaging chat functionality so that it now does chat bubbles. If you're familiar with Facebook Messenger and a lot of other messaging apps now on Android, when you're doing an instant messaging conversation, it'll display a little circle of, you know, the person's icon that you're talking to on top of everything, on top of your home screen, on top of all of the apps that you're doing. And it just stays there so that even if you're, say, playing a full screen game on your phone, you can still see those badges light up when you get new notifications, and then just tap on it and reply to your friends or reply to your Xbox club chat. That'll appear there too. This was a surprise to me. It happened to me just randomly over the weekend and was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It works like Facebook Messenger now. I guess that's good. But not on iOS yet. Richard, does iOS even do that for chat apps at all?
I have absolutely no idea.
I know that you're not a Facebook person, but you don't use any like instant messaging apps on your on your iPhone?
Yeah, I do. Well, actually, now do I?
You probably have Slack, but Slack doesn't do that on Android, so yeah, it probably wouldn't do it on Android.
I don't know that I do have any instant messaging apps on my iPhone. Actually,
wow.
I have text and Slack, and that's it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Well, so, and Skype, but I try to avoid using Skype on my phone at all cost.
Yeah, especially with the new design, right?
Yeah. So, you know, something that I wanted to talk about was when you and I were discussing this story earlier today, I had mentioned, oh, yeah, and I hear that they've kind of backed away from the one guide and the consolidated guide that they had created. And you're like, dude, didn't that happen a while ago? And I think it probably did, now that I think about it. Probably it might well have happened when Mixer came out, because I think that's when they changed the top navigation to be basically home, Mixer, community, entertainment, and store. So what was one guide is now a more kind of like consolidated browsing experience for entertainment that can get you to your guide if you have one set up. But I believe the one guide is now back to being a more traditional guide grid.
Yeah. Yeah. And to clarify, it did come out when Mixer came out, but that came out as part of the creator's update for the Xbox One. It wasn't just the Mixer update.
Well, yeah. But I mean, when that came out.
Yeah. All right. So that's the latest stuff for your Xbox. You'll definitely want to check that out if you haven't already. You know, speaking of Mixer, we use Mixer to broadcast this show live every time, pretty much every time we record the show. We record it and stream it live. We use Mixer to do that. And we typically do that Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That doesn't just mean that you get to look at our faces as we're recording this. There's a chat room there too, and you can join in and give us feedback as we're recording the show live. And it's a lot of fun for us, and we think it's a lot of fun for you guys too. So follow us on Twitter, and you'll know for sure when we're broadcasting.
And believe me, participating in the chat is much more fun than watching my crooked face.
So, Richard, last week, our big story of the week was the guide data issue that affected Windows Media Center users across, at least across the United States. I'm not sure if it impacted users in other countries, but it definitely impacted what seemed like everybody in the United States, at least who had HD guide data.
Right.
And we knew at the time that Microsoft knew about the issue, but we had no idea when or if it was going to get fixed. And the good news is that as of today, well, as of last night, it's fixed. It seems like most people are now getting their guide data without having to do weird hacks that involve setting your guide to another state and all that craziness, or setting up third-party utilities. You've just got your old guide data back.
Cool.
And that's good.
Yeah, so let me guess. To properly support the community, Microsoft came out with a notice telling people what had gone wrong, how they fixed it, and what you need to do as a user to recover, right?
Yeah, that sounds exactly like how Microsoft has always supported Windows Media Center. Oh, you're hilarious, Richard. No, of course they didn't do anything like that. You know, there might have actually been a message from a Microsoft person in those forums over at thegreenbutton.tv where people have been tracking this issue. But dude, that thread is like 55 pages long now. I wasn't about to try and read through the whole thing, but it's definitely fixed for at least for most people as of this morning. And by the time you're listening to this, it's got to be fixed. And people were saying they had guide data through, I think the 26th. 26th or 28th. You know, it's always somewhere in that like 8 to 14 day range, depending on where you are and what they've got. So that sounds about right.
Good stuff. Glad to hear that it is back. All right. Well, our next story is actually just a quick cover of a review that we were going to discuss last week, but we were running out of time last week. So I did want to make sure that we talked about it now. And that's a review on Tech Hive written by Jared Newman. Now, Jared is known for writing stories about connected home and cord cutting topics, kind of the same stuff that, you know, you and I love, Josh.
Right.
And he wrote a recent review about using the HD Home Run with MBDVR. And I saw that and I said, huh. Somehow I didn't know they had that. So that's cool. So let's talk a little bit about what he found in his review of this product. You know, we talk about Plex DVR all the time because I'm using it. And Josh, I don't know if you've abandoned it or if you still use it, but I know you were playing with it at some point. And I think that this is essentially their version of that. And the difference is that they kind of, like, where one lacks capability, the other offers it. And where the other offers it, then I was going to say the exact same thing backwards. But anyway, so.
They get it.
Yeah, think about Plex DVR, but this is on MB. So if you're an MB user, this may be more interesting to you. It uses the HD Home Run tuners. And in his review, he talks about using the different types of tuners that they have available, either the one that transcodes over the air signals or the one that doesn't. And additionally, you can also get the cable channels that are unscrambled if you have the HD Home Run Prime. Curiously, that's like an afterthought in his discussion. Whereas for me, that's like, woohoo, that's the biggest deal about this. But right. I guess it also depends about on like if you have cable, what of your channels are protected and what are unprotected. And for me, with Fios, it's mostly unprotected.
Yeah.
Now, what he talks about is how this is not a cheap endeavor. In addition to a PC to run this, you need to have the HD Home Run. You need to get MB and be an MB Premier member, which is a subscription price of either $5 a month, $50 a year, or a lifetime fee of $100. So that's actually cheaper than the Plex Pass. And you also need to subscribe to a guide data service or be able to use one of the guide conversion services, which requires pretty regular maintenance. That is not something that MB includes in their DVR product. So that's something that you need to think about as well. And, you know, he said by the time you add all that up, you're talking a couple $100s. And if you want to throw in the cost of a PC, if you don't already have one, you're easily talking $500 to get this started. But I think most of our listeners probably, if they're using MB, they already have it on a PC. And this is perhaps just a capability that you haven't taken advantage of yet. Now, one of the things that he talks about that this has that the Plex DVR product doesn't is much more device support. And I keep on forgetting that MB is on all these different platforms. But more importantly, MB TV viewing is available on nearly every platform they support, except for the Apple TV. I don't know what it is about that.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that means the Xbox One, that means Windows, that means the web, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, Roku, PlayStation, Chromecast, some smart TVs, iOS and Android all have MB apps that can play live TV. But it's better than that. It's not just live TV. They're able to do what Plex DVR can't do right now, which is time-shifted television so that you can let it record ahead and then play with a buffer. And as you've talked about, Josh, that's not something you can do with Plex TV or Plex DVR right now. And that's something that you and I do kind of all the time.
Well, yeah, and that's not entirely true. I mean, the Plex DVR had that recent update to support some of that functionality, but only on, what was it, iOS devices and Android TV boxes, I think it was. So, yeah, it's certainly not across the board the way it apparently is with MB.
Yeah, so this is a nice set of features, and I think it's something that is worth looking into if you use MB. Just two other points I wanted to make. They use a traditional grid guide to display the content from your provider in terms of, you know, your guide data. So that I think is a big plus. That's something that I wish that Plex had. It also means they're either paying the licensing fee for the use of that grid guide, or they're just doing it until somebody catches them.
Right. Which seems fairly unlikely that they're paying for that patent.
I would think it would be unlikely that they would be paying that. And now that I think about it, if I recall, it was Rovi who owned the patent to the guide data, which means that TiVo is who basically owns the patent to the grid guide. A little bit ironic because TiVo, the device, is one of the first devices that kind of came up with a, in my opinion, quite useful alternative to the grid guide. So it's nice that it's nice that they own all of the guides now. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Good for TiVo. Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that one negative point about this is that if you're recording some, or if you're watching something that you have previously recorded, it doesn't remember where you last left off if you go back to watch it again. That's crazy. That's got to be an oversight.
Maybe it's not. You know, HD Home Run DVR had that same problem up until it was only a month or two ago that we were discussing that they had finally added that. So maybe Doesn't seem like that would be a hard thing to add, but maybe it is kind of difficult to add, or maybe it's really low down their future list of things that they plan to work on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that, but hopefully they add that soon. So in any event, if this sounds interesting to you, definitely check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes to Jared's complete review. He liked it. He said that overall, he feels like between Flex and MB that MB has the upper hand right now. And of course, they'll be running neck and neck, I expect, for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it has more features, but it sounds, and it's cheaper, which is nice, but also sounds like more work to set up. I mean, Plex DVR is pretty straightforward. And that's always been the strong suit with Plex, is darn near anybody could set up a Plex server. And setting up the DVR on top of it isn't too difficult either. So yeah, it just depends on how much you want to fuss with things. Cause man, like, I know that you've had some guide data issues with your Plex DVR, but dude, I basically never have to deal with managing my Plex DVR or my HD Home Run DVR, which I found it a little odd that he didn't include HD Home Run DVR when he's talking about HD Home Run tuners. And it's actually cheaper than those other alternatives. It just doesn't give you that other media library management functionality that MB and Plex would give you.
In all fairness, I would argue that HD Home Run DVR still is not an official production product.
It's not, although anyone can get access to it. I mean, it's not officially done, that's for sure. It's not
right.
It's not version 1.0 yet, but neither is Plex DVR. Oh, I guess they are out of beta. Like, you don't have to be in the beta channel anymore. But I don't know. It may not be officially done, but it's really solid, and it does pretty much everything that I want it to do at this point, for the most part. So I don't know. But cool. It's a great article. Definitely someone I will be keeping a closer eye on, as he's got some great coverage of cord cutting technology here.
He does. And you know, maybe we could talk with him more about that someday.
I like that
idea.
You
know, just saying.
Yeah. So that's a great idea. All right, a little bit of audio news this week. This comes to us from our friends over at thedigitallifestyle.com. And it's just a small update to Groove Music for Android. You know, back earlier this year on Groove for Windows 10, we got some cool new playlist functionality that allows you to create a new playlist by choosing some artist or genres that you like, and then it automatically makes a playlist out of that data for you. Well, that feature is now on the Android version of Microsoft Groove, and that's great to see. I mean, this isn't some revolutionary new idea in music apps by any stretch of the imagination, but it's like, it feels like it's practically necessary to compete with all of the other apps that are available out there. So it's really nice to see it on a mobile platform here. I don't think this is on iOS yet, and Richard, I bet you don't know either, because I'm going to bet that you don't even have Groove Music installed on your iPhone.
No, I do not, actually. I did have it installed on my old iPad, I believe, but I have not yet installed it on my new one.
Yeah. I mean, you and I are both Spotify users, so we're not big Groove users. So, yeah. So let's, instead of dwelling on services that we don't use, let's move on to gaming stuff. We've got a little bit more. Well, of course, that's more one-sided, I guess. That's not so much you either. But I had been rolling around the idea a couple of weeks now about creating an Xbox Club for the Digital Media Zone. And this weekend, I finally got around to doing that. I was, you know, to be honest, I went to do this like 2 weeks ago. I was going to do it for my PC. So I opened up the Xbox app on my Windows 10 PC, went to clubs, and the app crashed. And then I've got the Xbox beta app. So I opened that up. I'm sure that'll work. And it crashed. So that's why I didn't.
No way. Yeah,
I have no idea what was going on. So I gave up on it for a week and I came back and it was working. So we now have a club on Xbox called, this is creative guys, be ready for this, The Digital Media Zone Club. See? Difficult. Easy to remember here. There's spaces. It's spelled out like a regular title. The space, digital space, media space, zone space club. Really easy to find. If you're having trouble finding it, shoot me a message on Twitter or on Xbox Live if you want. My gamer tag is RALYDSM. I can put that in the show notes. That'll be easier. You can friend request me and we can play games. And then let's get you in to the Digital Media Zone Club where we can all hang out. We can post, you know, achievements and other things that we're doing. And more importantly, coordinate some gaming sessions. Because guys, I want to play Xbox with you all. That would be a lot of fun. And now we can all co-stream too. So we could get a whole bunch of us together, play something, co-stream it. It would be a ton of fun. So come and join the Digital Media Zone Club on Xbox and let's find something to play together. Maybe we could play some free games because there's always free games. It's the second half of July, so we've got some new games available as part of Games with Gold. If you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber, you get these for free. On the Xbox 360 side, it's Lego Pirates of the Caribbean for the rest of the month, and Xbox One, it's a brand new game called Runbo, and that'll be available until August 15th. And then still available for the entire month on the Xbox One side is the game Grow Up. And all of those, of course, playable on the Xbox One, even Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, because it's now an Xbox backwards compatible game.
Already downloaded.
Yeah, we were talking about this game last week and that it might be one that you might check out. Did you check it out yet? Did you play it?
No.
You disappointed.
Downloaded it. I downloaded it.
Yeah, so what?
I can play it at any point now.
You could, along with all of those other free games that you've downloaded and never played.
Exactly. Someday, when I'm sitting in my retirement home and I'm just wondering what I should do rather than go down to the common room and watch old episodes of Golden Girls, I can be watching my big screen TV playing free Xbox games that I downloaded 20 years ago.
I'm sure you'll do that. You know, did I even invite you to the Digital Media Zone Club?
No, that's okay. Don't feel like you have
did
to.
Did I?
No, really.
Did I?
No. I don't really want to be a part of it. No.
I thought I did. Did
no,
I?
No, you didn't. No.
Really? You just don't know. Because
wouldn't something show up on my Xbox?
Yeah. Have you turned your Xbox on in the last 2 days?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get anything.
You sure?
I will check again.
It'd be in the little sidebar.
Wouldn't it also be in a notification when I turn it on? I will check again.
Well, yeah, it would be in again. The notification thingies in the sidebar.
I would rather make you feel bad about it. You know, so... We'll see, and I'll let you know. Well,
I've already got an excuse.
The next episode.
I've got an excuse because when I created the club, and I did this on my computer, it then gives you the option to invite people, okay? So I went through my list, and it allows you to check on a bunch of names. And so I checked on every single name in my friends list that I thought would be interested. And I'm sure I checked on you. And then I clicked add, and then it failed. It was like, nope. This didn't work. Try again. And I thought maybe I just tried too many. Let's just do like four. And I did four and it worked. And so then it was like, do four. And then it scrolls to the top of the list. So I got to try and remember who I invited, go back down on the list, come to the next one. And I probably just missed you having to deal with that terrible interface. Okay.
You probably just wanted real gamers in there. I know.
No, I want you in there. I want you to. I want you to be in there because I want you to see all the fun that we're having so that maybe it'll encourage you to actually play.
Maybe it will. Just when I have time to add to my free time I don't have.
Right. Exactly. All right. We have one more Microsoft story to talk about tonight, and it's kind of a downer, although it seems like this is kind of the trend lately. So... A few months ago, Microsoft had a big event. They talked about what we can expect in the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update. And one of those features was called Timeline. And this looked really cool in terms of productivity. It would allow you to basically pick up where you left off with, say, editing a Word document or lots of other mostly productivity type scenarios across platforms, like from your Windows PC to your Android phone and back and forth and the ability to have like a shared clipboard between all of your devices and stuff like that. And it was all...
And all of those platforms. Like, that right. was the thing that was just staggering about it. The fact that they could do this across platform. And of course, they were starting with their own apps. But essentially what they were talking about is a framework for allowing this sort of what iOS calls handoff, or what Apple calls handoff, between all of your different devices across platform. Loved this idea. Do you remember, Josh, when we talked about all the cool stuff they showed off? I said, you know, they didn't really show us anything live. Everything they showed us was through videos and images. We didn't get to see anything for real. And I'll bet that just like the first creators update, some of this stuff is going to fall off.
Yeah, and it did. So Microsoft did officially announce that this will not make it as part of the fall creators update. And insiders won't even get a look at it until after the fall creators update is available. God, I hate that name. I really hate that name. The fall creators update. So lame. So we're not going to be seeing this for a while, but Microsoft is really excited about this functionality. At Build, their big developer conference, they had multiple sessions talking about how developers can also tap into these APIs so that the third-party apps can use this functionality too. And that's really awesome. It's really awesome. So I can't wait to see this functionality actually get out there, because I'm one of those people who uses Windows on my PCs and Android on my phone. And sometimes it's a little bit of a pain, because I like to, you know, for example, I use Edge to browse the web on my PC, but I use Chrome on my phone because there's no Chrome on it, or so there's no Edge mm-hmm. on Android. So having better ways to synchronize that stuff across devices will be great once it's available.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that is it for Microsoft news this week. But we do have a couple, I don't know, random stories. Not even, I guess it's industry news, but these are just random stories that we thought were kind of relevant because they play into things you might want to have if you are using Microsoft technology for entertainment purposes. And one of those things might be a really awesome TV, or at least a 4K TV that would get you access to awesome 4K content, but you don't want to spend a whole lot of money on it. Well, if you didn't know this, there is a brand of TVs called Element. And this is essentially a rebranded Westinghouse television. But what's really cool about these Element TVs, which are most commonly available for like special sales at Walmart or Target, and now also available at Amazon, is that there's now an Element TV that has Fire TV capability built into it. So think Roku, and how Roku went from just making boxes to also being more or less the interface for and the way of switching between inputs on TVs from TCL and other manufacturers. That's exactly what this is. But instead of the Roku interface, it's the Fire TV interface. And it does have the ability to get to live TV, including over-the-air support. It gives you the ability to switch different inputs all within the Fire TV interface. And because it's Fire TV, you get all of the capability of that digital assistant I won't name that lives on the Amazon Echo, because that is part of the Amazon Fire TV solution. That's something that you can get, that you can use with that if you have a voice remote, and these come with a voice remote. So pretty cool way of getting a television with this service built into it, and 4K. Oh, and by the way, they're really inexpensive. From 43 inches to 65 inches, they cost about $450 to $900. $900 for a decent 4K 65-inch television. Not a bad price.
Nope.
So if this is something you're interested in, check it out at Amazon. These are actually on sale. Man, they had a 55-inch on sale for $400 on Prime Day.
The 55 was $400?
$55 was $400. Yes. Crazy price.
Jeez. The regular price of it's $650.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So you will start seeing the Amazon-enabled version of these also at Target and Walmart again. And then you're going to start seeing similar devices in other stores like Meijer and other retailers, but they'll probably be branded as Westinghouse.
Yeah. And these are great TVs, like maybe not for your living room, maybe not your primary viewing area, but stick these in a bedroom, in your exercise room, like someplace where you just need another quick TV with access to all of your apps. Like it's all just built in.
I just need another 55-inch 4K. That's all I just need.
I need them everywhere on every wall in my house. Yes. Maybe not quite that cheap, but getting there. Jeez, man. $400 for the 55-inch. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, another, this one's maybe even harder to explain, at least initially, why this is a story we're talking about. But this is a really interesting story. There's a company called Mira, M-I-R-A, and they have been working on an augmented reality headset, sort of like HoloLens. So just as a recap, because there's lots of, you know, people get confused about what's augmented reality, what's virtual reality, what's mixed reality, what's the difference between all this stuff. Augmented reality is a way of being able to still see your surroundings, but have other visual things placed over top of reality. So like, I think most people are pretty familiar with last year's, you know, 1 week sensation of Pokemon Go. And in that game, on your phone, on your phone, you would walk around and find a Pokemon, and it would use the camera to, so that you could see the ground in front of you, and a Pokemon would hop out and it would look like it's standing on the ground in front of you. That's augmented reality. Google Glasses is another example of augmented reality, where there's a little visor in front of your eyeball and certain things are projected onto that visor. HoloLens also, they might want to call it mixed reality. It's augmented reality. It's a visor that you can see through because it's clear, but there's other things projected onto it that through the projection and stuff makes it look like you can see it in the real world, like it's just part of the world. HoloLens is cool, but it's $3,000. What Mira is doing is they've made a headset that you stick your phone in and it still has the transparent glass that comes down over your eyes. And then the phone like projects its image onto the lens of the goggles, and it's $100. Like, this looks goofy. I think the actual design of these goggles looks even goofier than HoloLens. Like, HoloLens looks super sci-fi, futuristic-y, weird stuff that you still wouldn't want to wear in public. Right. But these look almost cartoony in how big the lens is. But if it works well, it's take the phone that you already have, stick it in this little headset like you would to do virtual reality with like a Samsung Gear VR or an Android Daydream headset. Just stick your phone in there. Use the apps. It comes with the little motion-controlled controller to do things with it. And you've got augmented reality. Like, there's a lot of really cool possibilities with this. What do you think, Richard?
I think it is interesting. I think this helps solve the problem that a lot of people, including you, were saying when Apple first announced its AR kit, which is, who's going to walk around holding their phone up in front of them the whole time for whatever this experience is? That's going to get old very quickly.
Right.
So this potentially addresses that issue. You know, I don't know that this looks any more ridiculous than the HoloLens does, frankly. And I also don't necessarily know that these are the kind of things, certainly at this stage in the technology development, that we're going to see people wearing in public spaces. I think these right. are more the type of thing that like with HoloLens and with Google Glass, that you're going to see perhaps more in gaming, in stuff that you might do in your house, in training, maybe in industrial fields, like where they've they've seen a lot of, well, actually, Microsoft has even shown really cool examples of how HoloLens can be used in medical fields, for example, and for training in industrial spaces. So I think there's some good use for this. Now, the thing that I'm, I guess, not clear on is this real or is this still like a pre-funding concept kind of thing?
It sounds real-ish. It's still in the pre-order phase. You can't buy it and have it in your hands today, but it sounds like it's darn close. They are planning to ship units to developers in the fall, which is really soon, and then to make them generally available to the public at holiday. So it's just a few months away. And, you know, like, we're going to link to a story at Engadget. The Engadget guys got their hands on it. They got to use this and actually, you know, go eyes on with, I know you hate that phrase, which is why I say it, with this Mira Prism headset. So I would bet that it's close. I mean, I don't think it's a Kickstarter. I didn't click the pre-order button. Maybe the pre-order button takes you to Kickstarter. And if it does, then I guess it's automatically next summer, because I always add 6 months to any Kickstarter project.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's close. And frankly, I don't know why it wouldn't be, because there's not really that much to it. You know, it's just a visor with some glass that fits an iPhone 6, 6S, or an iPhone 7.
Well, like it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit more complicated than that, right? Because presumably there's going to be some software that you need to run on your device, and maybe the developers even have to build to, including libraries in their own software, to be able to support it. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, there is software that needs to be written. Absolutely.
All right, cool.
So would you get, you've got an iPhone, I don't. Would you consider getting one of these? Are you interested enough in AR to drop $100 on something?
See,
like
again,
this?
Something like this would be terrible for me. To me, holding my phone out in front of me works because I can see that. I can't, my eyes can't split two images and make them one. So something that's projecting onto a screen in front of each eye is just lost on me.
Oh, right. Yeah, that would make that difficult. Okay, so I guess we won't be getting an eyes on review from you.
Yeah, eye on one. I'll close the other one.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for our news this week, Richard. You and I both have a fair amount of things going on in our entertainment center, but why don't you go first?
Yeah, so this will go pretty quickly, actually. The first thing is a little mini rant. So I watch Netflix more on my Xbox now than on any other device, because that's where the 4K is. And I turned on my Xbox after being away for a week, and it wanted me to log back in to Netflix. And can I just tell you how much that pisses me off? Because what if I'm not home and Edward wants to watch Netflix? Well, first of all, that's probably not going to happen on the Xbox. But I mean, the point is that these video apps are accounts that are shared by a household or a family. And if the account holder is not available and you have one of these apps that decides, oh, you need to log on again. Netflix, I don't ever remember having to log on again with Netflix before. That's why this really caught my attention. Whereas on the other hand, if you're using HBO or Showtime or one of the applications that's just uber paranoid about security, then they do make you log on, because they log you off automatically, whether you've used it or not, like every 30 days. And that practice just makes me crazy. I don't think that works for a family shared type of service. So,
right. Especially one that doesn't have a good keyboard.
Oh,
like typing in an email address and password
on a TV,
on a gamepad. Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's insanity. So stop it. All of you doing that, stop it. I know none of you listen to the show, but stop it anyway. when I did get in, then I watched some stuff on Plex and I watched some stuff on Netflix. And so let's start with Netflix. I have been watching, I mentioned last week, Gilmore Girls season 4, finished season 4, started season 5, still watching Luke Cage. Luke Cage is getting really good. I'm like right in the middle of the season and I'm really enjoying it. I, on my Netflix DVR, have been keeping up with Nashville, Orphan Black, Big Brother. I had mentioned that I had downloaded the Louis C.K. kind of play drama that he had recorded and sold online called Horace and Pete. And that's something that I usually sync through Plex to my iPad so that I always have a couple episodes on a flight if I'm on a flight. And last week I was on a flight, so I watched a couple episodes. Really, really good acting in that series. It features Steve Buscemi and, of course, Louis C.K. and, I can't think of the name of one of the lead female characters, but she's really good. Alan Alda. I mean, it had a really good cast of people, and it is serious drama like you would see in a serious play told in 3 acts across 12 episodes, basically. The next thing I'm going to be watching is Firefly. And the reason I'm watching that is because that is the new past series that the guys at Cord Killers are going to be watching week by week on Spoiler in Time. So they'll talk about each episode after they watch each episode, and they're going to go through one episode at a time. And I've tried to stick with them as they've been doing with that with past shows. So I'm really excited about that because, honestly, when Firefly was canceled, if I remember correctly, they didn't sell the DVDs for the series until years after it was canceled. And I bought them.
Oh, wow.
But then never ended up watching them on DVD, which means that there are 3 episodes that I never saw.
So maybe you can clear this up for me then, because some of our listeners, longtime listeners, might remember that I recently, probably at least 3 years ago, actually, maybe 4 years ago, I watched Firefly fairly recently and documented that experience, not in the same way that the Cord Killers guys do, but, you know, talked about it right here in this segment of the show. And I watched it on Netflix. Netflix has all 12 episodes or whatever. Is that the same as what's on the DVDs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but the series got canceled before it completed.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there was never really a conclusion to it, regardless of what was on TV, what was on Netflix,
right,
what was on DVDs.
Right. But I mean, I think it only got through 8 or 9 episodes before they gave it the axe.
Jeez.
Which is just ludicrous.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my question is, they didn't finish the TV show, but a couple years later, they made a movie called Serenity that kind of tried to wrap it up a little bit. And so
it did try.
I watched all of Firefly, and then I watched Serenity. Do you know if the Cord Killers guys are planning to also watch Serenity at the end of this?
I don't know if they are, but that's a really good question to ask them. So I have to remember to do that, because they should. They absolutely should.
Right. Yeah. It's basically just the conclusion of the story. So you kind of have to.
Yeah. And what was funny is this was up against, like, they were competing for what series they were going to watch, and it came down to this or Deadwood. And Deadwood is one of those series that was notoriously stopped before anything got wrapped up, because it basically was canceled after a season cliffhanger and they never gave it a movie. I do want to see that at some point in time. But it's going to frustrate the crap out of me when I do. But I've heard great things about that series, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, after Big Brother 1 week on, I think, Sunday night, it was the debut of a new game show around Candy Crush was on. And their twist, if you will, was that it featured characters from The Amazing Race. No, from Survivor and from Big Brother. So they were playing on this. And I thought, okay, what they got me, I'll watch it and see. Oh my God, was that terrible? It was awful, awful, awful.
Of course it was.
Terrible television. But you know what happened? I had never played Candy Crush before in my life. I am now addicted to it.
Ah, Richard. Richard, come on. We're going to need like a Candy Crush intervention here.
We may. All right. Well, on better news, last week we talked about okra. That is. I wrote that wrong. No, I didn't write that wrong. I got auto-corrected last week.
Eat your vegetables, everybody.
Last week, we talked about Okja. And this is a movie on Netflix that was created for Netflix. And it was on our docket because it's the only movie so far that they have that is in Dolby Atmos. It's the only content they have that's in Dolby Atmos.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh, well, I'm probably not going to watch this. But I'd heard great things about it, so I wanted to watch it. And, oh, this movie is amazing.
Hmm.
This movie, I fully expect this movie to get nominations next year. It's too late for this year, but I fully expect it to get nominations. It was wonderful. It is heartwarming. It is awful. It is funny. There were only maybe two times in the entire film that I noticed that it was Atmos.
Oh.
So that was kind of frustrating. But
yeah.
As a story, we sat down and watched this, and I was totally enthralled, and I want to watch it again, actually. It is so well done.
Hmm.
This is done by the director who did Snowpiercer. And I don't know if you ever saw that movie. That is a movie starring Chris Evans as basically a survivor on a train full of people that just circles the globe because the world is screwed. And
I know I watched some of that movie, but I don't know that I finished it.
It was a deep film. It was a violent film.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Very heavily stylized. This has a lot of that, and I highly recommend this. The story might make you think that this is a family film. This is not a family film. I don't think you should let your kids watch this. There are scenes in here. It's about food production. There are scenes in here that are very disturbing.
Mm.
And there are F-bombs everywhere. And so not a kid's film.
Okay, good to know.
And I usually don't talk about stuff that I'm listening to, but every once in a while I find an album or a single or a band that I have newly discovered. And someone on Twitter had posted something about a new song from a band called Need to Breathe. Now, historically, Need to Breathe is a Christian rock band that has had some crossover hits. And this is one of their new crossover songs called Waiting. And I love it. This has been on like repeat for me for way too long because I obsess about stuff when I like it. But I would highly recommend checking this out on Spotify. I think it is pretty good. I would call it like a country rock feel to it.
Cool. Very cool. I will definitely check that out. All right, so that's my turn. I do have some stuff going on in my entertainment center. I've even got hardware stuff going on in my entertainment center,
woo-hoo!
Which usually is exciting, right?
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, not the kind of excitement that I wanted in my entertainment center.
Oh.
So I bought that Vizio M series, the M55D0 last fall. I've been loving it. It's 4K TV, HDR. It's great. Last weekend, I turned it on, and there was a big black vertical bar going down, you know, maybe a fifth of the way across the screen, a few inches wide, just covering everything on the display. And I freaked out, like, oh my gosh, my TV's busted. Is there any way I can fix this? Like, is it the Xbox? I don't know. So I switched inputs and then came back to the Xbox, and it was gone. I thought, I don't know. Maybe this is a one-time thing. It wasn't a one-time thing. It's happened two or three more times since then. Yeah. So I contacted Vizio. I had no idea what to expect from Vizio support, but the TV's under warranty, so I wasn't super concerned. And Vizio support is actually pretty darn impressive. They pride themselves in having all of their call center people here in the United States, and it certainly sounded that way. They were super, super friendly people. The first woman that I talked to walked me through basic troubleshooting. You know, she wanted me to unplug the TV, hold the power button for 10 seconds or whatever, turn it back on, see if the problem went away. It didn't.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it on again?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a little bit more advanced than just turn it off and on again. And she walked me through the whole thing. She's like, you know what, this is something that it's a known issue that's been happening lately for people. We will fix it. We need you to, you know, take a picture of it and, take a picture of the whole TV with the TV off so that we can, I assume, see that it's not damaged, that you didn't hit your TV with a baseball bat or something. and your receipt. Email it all to this address, call back, you know, in a couple of hours, and we'll get everything scheduled. And so I did all that, and they're going to replace it, which kind of sucks. Yeah, but like, I don't want to have to go through that, but they're going to come out and it's all free. It's not going to cost me anything. Just have to schedule an appointment with some repair technician. They'll show up at my house with a new TV. They asked if it's wall mounted. I said, yes. They said, is it less than 5 feet in the air? And I almost said, of course it is. I'm not insane. Like, I'm not one of those crazy people who mounts a TV above the fireplace and gets a sore neck watching TV.
Don't put a TV over your fireplace.
No.
Regardless of the neck issue.
Right. It's not how you're supposed to watch TV. Plus, it makes your room look weird. Don't do it.
But I do have mine pretty high.
You do. But that, I mean, you have reasons. It's not. So, like, they'll even deal with the wall mounting issue. The technician will take it off of the wall mount and put the new one up there. They won't hook up the electronics for you, but that's not a big deal. And then, you know, they take off and everything's theoretically cool. It's not even refurbished TVs that they replace them with. It's recertified. They said basically that means, like, it's overstock that, like, maybe they shipped to Walmart and didn't sell, so it got sent back. So I don't know. We'll see how this actually goes. The only real downside to all of this is they said it could be 7 to 10 days. And that's like, if I had this black bar all the time, fortunately I don't, but if I did, like, it's basically unwatchable. Like, at least I would find it unwatchable. My kids would probably be okay with it, but I sure as heck wouldn't be playing Xbox on that TV for 2 weeks while waiting for the replacement. So that's the only real downside, but I will definitely keep everybody up to date with that story as it goes. And if you've got a Vizio M series from 2016, keep an eye out, because if it happens, you'll want to get it fixed while it's under warranty, because they'll do it for free. I did start watching something on my big, long backlog of shows to watch. I watched the first episode of Stranger Things this weekend.
Yes.
That's a cool show.
Yes, it is.
I didn't expect it to be as creepy as it is.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, is it creepy? And it's so 80s, which I you know, I'm a child of the 80s in a different way than you, I suppose, Richard. But yeah, like, it hits all of the right 80s buttons. Like, it's I'm really liking it. I'm definitely going to be finishing this up. And I think it's only like 6 episodes or something, isn't it?
Eight.
Okay. So hopefully this won't take me too long, because it's cool and I definitely want to keep watching. And it's been renewed for season 2, which I think is coming out in October. So I should probably get a move on.
Yep. They announced the start date for that. Very excited. I was just telling my friend Jeff about this, who was visiting a couple weekends ago, and he had not seen it yet. And my friend Chris and I are like, oh, Jeff, if you don't have Netflix, you have to get Netflix so you can watch this show.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, it's, again, it's not a kid show, because it's creepy and it's got language and more adult scenario type things. So, But it's cool. I'm liking it a lot. And then on to gaming, lots of gaming stuff too. I started a new game. I started Mass Effect Andromeda. This is a game that I was so excited for it. I talked a lot on the show about me playing through the original Mass Effect trilogy that I just finished earlier this year in preparation for this, even though it's not a direct sequel. And I had initially planned on pre-ordering this game. I was so excited for it. I knew it was going to be amazing. I didn't end up pre-ordering it. And then the reviews came out and the reviews said, it's definitely not the best Mass Effect game. It's probably the worst of the Mass Effect games. And there were a lot of technical problems. And so I decided I'm going to wait for them to fix these technical problems and for it to get cheaper. And it did on both accounts. They fixed a bunch of the issues. There were weird, crazy facial animations that are mostly fixed. I've still come across a couple of bugs here and there. Like I was in a conversation with a character who was a total jerk. And for half of the conversation, the character's eyes were closed. The whole conversation. Like it was so weird and annoying. But other than that, it's worked out fine. And I'm really, really enjoying the game. It's probably not as good as the other ones, but it has been a good game. And you know, I got it for $30. I've seen it as cheap as $20. And this game just came out in March. So it's not very old. And if you're into these types of RPGs, for the prices that you can get it for right now, it's probably worth it. Now I'm only like 7 hours into the game, but it's probably worth it. But you don't have to put down any money to find out, because one thing that they did recently is made a 10-hour free trial available to everybody. That's including on Xbox and PlayStation and PC. You can just install the game, play for 10 hours, check it out, see if you like it. I think that's going to be enough to determine whether or not you like it. And you probably will if you're into, you know, sci-fi RPG games. I've also been playing NBA Playgrounds. I bought that in the sale. This is like, I've got 10 or 15 minutes to play a game and the kids are around, so I'll play this because it's basketball. It's not going to offend anybody. I'm not going to have swear words pouring out of the screen or horrible violence or anything like that.
See, you totally could be playing Candy Crush on your Android phone.
That is so not ever going to happen. I could play Candy Crush on my Windows PC, too. It ain't going to happen. So not going to happen. So Playgrounds, like if you're in the NBA Jam, this is 2-on-2, very arcadey basketball. It's like that, but harder in a lot of ways, but it's cool. I like it. And then, of course, still playing lots of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Generally, I really like how Steam on the PC tells you how long you've played a game. I kind of wish that it wouldn't tell me how much I've played this game. I looked the other day and saw that I was at 23 hours of playtime and thought, oh, that's why I haven't been as productive over the last few weeks. Because this game is just so good. It's so good. And I can't wait for it to come to Xbox One. And I will probably buy it again when it comes to Xbox One. I love this game that much. So that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center. And that's it for all of our stuff for this week. So if you want to get a hold of us, there's a lot of ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. Pretty easy there. And then the website, that's the only one that's a little different. It's at Digi Media Zone, D-I-G-I. Media Zone, because you know Digital Media Zone's long. We made it even shorter on Facebook, facebook.com/thedmz. Love it. Go over there, click the like button, make sure you're following us on Facebook. And then Richard, you also record another podcast that's really, really good, and it's all about home automation and control from the DIY perspective. Richard, what's going on with my favorite podcast?
I do. And I am so close on getting the connected episode out. I probably should have planned something in the middle, but I didn't. So I would expect next week we're going to see the Connected Kitchen episode with a bunch of different people and a couple companies interviewed. So I'm very excited about that.
Awesome. Can't wait. All right. And then come back here Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern is when we record the show live through Mixer. It's right here on the digitalmediazone.com. Go to the podcast page, go to Entertainment 2.0, go to Live, you'll find it. Or follow us on Twitter, because we always tweet when we will be doing the show. And then again, right after we go live, we send out another tweet. So all you got to do is click one link and you're here. There's no reason not to join us, guys. It's a lot of fun. You can chat with us, be a part of the show while we're recording it. We have a lot of fun and think you will too. But that's going to do it for episode 415. He's Richard Gunther and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.